Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
So how many of you here last Sunday when Aaron James was here? Most of you, some of you. If you weren't here last Sunday, I really want to encourage you to listen to the message that he brought last week when he was here. Aaron Jane is a friend of ours from the States, just taken over a church about a year ago in San Diego, and just south of LA, and a great friend of ours, but brought a great word, didn't he? And basically the essence of the word was about Peter and John and their relationship with Jesus. And Peter lived his relationship with God out of a I love Jesus and tried to always please Jesus. But John lived his life out of a revelation that Jesus loved him. So he lived from a place of Jesus loves me. So there's I'm living from a place of grace, not a place of performance or trying to reach God or try and please him in my own efforts and everything. It was a liberating message last Sunday. I know a number of people came up afterwards and said it just set them free. It turned their world upside down. It just gave them a completely different understanding of God's love and how they can live now out of a place of freedom and grace and not law and striving. So that's what the word does, isn't it? Sets us free to live fully in who God is. And I want to just share some things this morning, and rather than necessarily preach a message as such, just share some things that I suppose are just bubbling and stirring on the inside of me, if that's all right. And which will give us a little bit of kind of direction of where we're going this autumn and into the new year. Jane and I, over the last few weeks, we've had a little bit of a holiday here and there. We've caught the sun because we've been in a hot place, but we spent about 10 days in Israel. Just give you a little sum up, really, of the last few weeks before getting into what I believe God wants to say. Or this is part of what he wants to say, really. But went to Israel for 10 days. The main reason for going was to go to a youth conference in Tel Aviv and meet some of the younger leaders in Israel and just see what God's doing amongst younger people. And there are about 800 young people or younger people, teenagers and 20s, at this conference. A real good mix of Jewish young people and Arab young people. And it was great to see them, you know, worshipping God together, spending time together, praying together. And God's doing something awesome in that nation. And it was great to meet some of the leaders of the younger kind of generations, as well as a lot of the guys that we already know over there. We also spent some time with guys that we know in Jerusalem, catching up with them, just meeting with them, finding out what's happening, what's going on, and really how we can continue over here to move forward the understanding for the church in this nation, what God is actually doing over there. We spent a bit of time with another guy north of Tel Aviv in a place called Netanya, who really has a kind of national youth ministry and a great guy. And they're working with Jews and Arabs as well. And it was great to connect with him. And I think there's something definitely there for the future that we're going to just pursue and see how we can connect our young people here with his young people there, but also how we can really help develop more understanding here for younger people in this nation of what God is doing over there. And so we had a couple of days holiday on the beach at the end of all of that lot, but then came back, had a few days here. Then Jane and I for the last 4 days have been in Copenhagen and Malmo, and Copenhagen in Denmark, Malmo in Sweden. And particularly the last couple of days of that, a European leaders kind of conference. There were only about 60, 70 people there. It was an invite-only thing. And it was amazing just to hear some of what God is doing around Europe and some of the leaders. Yeah, man, there's some quality guys that God is raising up around Europe. And Europe, you know, is known as the backslider of the earth, you know, compared to what it used to be in terms of a mission-sending continent to the rest of the world. The rest of the world seems to be sending missionaries to Europe to bring it alive again. Well, what was great to see is is not just people from other nations outside of Europe coming to Europe, but European leaders, guys from within their nations that God is raising up and planting churches and seeing networks of churches, you know, growing, people getting saved and God moving across different nations in Europe. And so we are in a new season. We're in a new day, a new time in Europe. And I remember a few years ago, somebody saying there are 250,000 towns in Europe that do not have a live church, a church that is spirit-filled in it. And you think, well, it's great to go to Asia, to Africa and other nations to go with the gospel. But yet, you know, 250,000 towns in our own continent that do not have a spirit-filled church in them. So we have a mission field in our own nation, right on our doorstep in Europe. We are part of Europe. I was kept reminded while we were there. And because we tend to think we're UK, we're Britain, we're you know, Europe's over the channel, we're over the North Sea somewhere. But actually, we are part of Europe. They got a really exciting response. Yes, yes. Everybody's sitting there going, no, we're not. Come on, Clive, we're British. We have the pound. We are British. We are not European. We are, you know, well, whether we like it or not, we are part of Europe. And it's a great continent. It has a great heritage, has a great history of moves of God and revivals. And today is a new day for this continent of Europe. And so we're just going to continue developing relationships with different guys. And I was asked, or I got an email from the guy who was hosting this event. Rather than an invited guest kind of speaker thing, everybody that's part of this thing contributes. And everybody, you know, is involved in presenting, speaking, sharing and on different panels and all of that kind of thing. So it's whoever comes, you get involved. It's not you go and sit and just listen and make loads of notes to somebody giving you their five different great sessions that they've got. And they emailed us and said, look, if you had 10 minutes to speak about anything that you think is really relevant for leaders in Europe now, what would it be? And are you up for doing it? So we, at the time I received the email, we're actually sitting outside where we were staying it was in the evening in Israel, and we were looking over the beach. And I got this email and I read it, and I sat there for a few moments, and I thought, Israel. Talk for 10 minutes about Israel. So I kind of sat there for a few minutes, and I said to Jane, hey, mate, have a look at this email. Look what they've asked, you know, what do you think? And she said, why don't you speak on Israel? So I emailed the guy back, and now obviously we're getting invited more and more to speak about Israel in places, but we're not just saying yes to everything, and you got to be wise because people's perception of Israel is your flag waving, shofar blowing, banner waving, more Jewish than the Jews approach to Israel, right? So we don't want to go there, okay? And we're certainly not going there, and. So we want to be wise as to what we do say. And if you talk about Israel in any other context, most people immediately put you in a box and say, okay, you guys are into that. You're into Israel, so that means you must be into all the weird stuff, okay? And so I emailed him back and just said, look, I really believe it's right to share on Israel for 10 minutes. And there, in this 30-minute session, there were three people that had been asked to speak for 10 minutes on something. And I said, well, I'll speak on if it's all right. And so I just said, look, it's not a nutter's version of Israel, you know, don't worry, you know, and put a few things in there. And so he kind of came back, I think, a little bit shocked, because most of this stuff is all about, you know, how you grow as leaders, churches, and it's very focused on that kind of thing. And so he came back and said, yeah, great. So when we arrived, they said, what's your title for that 10 minutes? And I said, our roots, our future. And so... up until that point on Thursday, all day, all the stuff, it's some awesome stuff, wasn't there? And we were writing notes and chatting and listening and all that. Then my session, I thought, man, 10 minutes, this is like from left field compared to everything else that's being talked about at the moment. This is going to be like, where are you coming from, you know? And the guy who was hosting it said to me at the beginning, you know, he said, you're right about your 10 minutes. I said, yeah, fine. And he said, I think it's going to be really important, actually, for everybody here to hear something. And I said, okay, you know, great. Hopefully it will be. And it's a big subject to talk about in 10 minutes. And uh, But we really felt it was right to do it. And so we shared for 10 minutes and just basically said, okay, this is God's plan of salvation. This is where it started. Started with the people in a place, promises, covenant, and ultimately they rejected it. Therefore, it opened up the way for us as Gentiles. We responded with faith. We're grafted in to the promises and the covenants that God has made, and we become a people of salvation along with God's purposes for Israel. And it started there, it's going to finish there, and on the way we've got caught up because we responded with faith, but it's going to finish with Jesus returning to Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, the eastern side, and all of that, and the Jews are going to get, people are going to get saved, Arabs are going to, it's going to be awesome. And we kind of just explained and communicated a few things that were going on in the nation now, and God's heart for Jews and Arabs and what's happening and all of that. The amount of people during the rest of the time there that asked us, man, that was the best thing I've ever heard on Israel. It wasn't weird. It wasn't like coming from over there. It was like, man, we need to know more. We want to come on the trip you're doing, leaders. You know, how do we find out more? Are there books we can read? And it just triggered a whole lot of stuff. And we said it's really important as leaders in this time that we understand what God is doing. Not just be into it for some weird thing, but what is God doing? And what has that got to do with us as Western believers in Europe, what God is doing in Israel and in the Middle East and in Egypt and the other Muslim nations, and what God is doing, what's happening now? And it was like God just putting on the radar, not just Israel as a subject, because we were really clear to say it's not just a subject, it's God's plan of salvation, and we are part of that. So it's not get into Israel as a thing, but actually there's God's plan of salvation. And how we put, and so that it sparked a lot of conversations. And what was interesting is how many people that were there God had already spoken to them about Israel, about going there, but had never done anything with it. And I mean, one guy 2 years ago, God woke him up 2 years ago one morning and said, I want you to go to Israel because you're going to help plant churches there. And he's never done anything with it. And somebody else, the same thing. God spoke to them about Israel, and you're going to be involved there, but never done anything with it. And so there was just a little spark there of something. And so we'll just see. But part of our mandate, if you like, as Kingdom Faith, is to help people understand, get a biblical understanding of Israel, but also what is God doing in the nation there now? What's he doing in other nations around? And so that was a key kind of 10 minutes that ended up with a lot of other conversations. Now, that's a bit of a macro, okay? And yes, we have a heart for Israel. We pray for that nation. We're developing relationships and we're helping to support people there. But obviously, we've got to work out some things daily in the micro of what we're doing. So I just want you to turn to Mark chapter 1 for a minute. And we're going to have a look, just skip a few things. I haven't really got a message this morning. I was praying for ages yesterday, and I don't know what time this morning, and all of that. And there's loads of stuff bubbling, but I just felt God say, just share some things that are on your heart that I've shown you here and there in the first few chapters of Mark over the last few weeks, just to give us a little bit of a heads up on where we're going a bit for the next few weeks. Or during this kind of autumn into the winter kind of period. I want to say some things, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. There might be a bit more from a leadership perspective what I'm saying, but I just want to share some things this morning to try and help us understand why we do certain things, why we talk about certain things, why we put things in certain ways, and as a leadership and what we're trying to do. When I say trying, I don't mean in our own efforts, but what I believe God is trying to do amongst us as a people to help us understand. You know, it's one thing being part of a church and you come on a Sunday to hear a message to get impacted so that you grow in your relationship with God more. And last week was one of those. The previous 2 weeks, from what I understand, with what Pastor Colin was saying and bringing, it was those kind of messages. You know, how do you live in victory as a believer? How do you overcome this? How do you take your stand? Last week, having a revelation of God's grace and how that impacts your relationship with God. And all of that is absolutely key and fundamental to how we live and how we believe and how when people get saved and get added into the life of the church here, what they also then become part of, their understanding of who God is. And as part of all of that, as people, we need to understand also some things. What are we part of? And why do we do certain things that we do? Why do we talk about certain things in the way that we do? Because there's some things that God wants to fulfill and things that God wants to do through us as a people in this region. And God wants to mobilize us as a church, along with the guys in Crawley, to really begin to impact this region in the coming 2 or 3, 4 years in a way that we've talked about and prayed about but not stepped into. Right, there's a mission DNA in who we are as a church that God wants to release into our town, into Horsham Moor, into Crawley Moor, into the towns in this region more, because part of the vision God's given us is to be a regional church, is to be an apostolic people in this region and to impact this region. And if you just look in Mark chapter 1 for a minute, verse 9, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. He came from nowhere. He came from a place that was small, nobody really knew about. He wasn't known for anything. And he came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, I believe God wants to do something in this region, and it's going to come out of a place called Horsham that people don't really talk about. It's not really known. It's not on the map. You know, some guys that we met for the first time when we were in Malmo in Sweden on Thursday and Friday, they said, oh, where are you from? Now, when I always start with, we live in a town that is south of London near Gatwick Airport. Because, you know, when you just say, we live in a town called Horsham, they all go, what? Especially if they're from other nations, they say, Horsham, what's that? You know, so I think, well, they know London and they know Gatwick Airport probably, so start there, you know. And you know how some things are said to Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there? You know, it's like, well, where on earth is Horsham? Can anything good come out of there? Absolutely. And so something awesome is happening in Horsham, and something awesome is going to come from Horsham and impact a whole region, along with whatever else God is doing in other churches, but I'm not saying we're it by any, but there's things that we've got to be and do as a people. So Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. There's a bunch of believers who live in Horsham. They're going to come out of Horsham and they're going to begin to impact and influence a whole region. If you want to join me, just say amen. And get in. Right. As Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. I believe God is releasing something from heaven, releasing his Spirit in a fresh way to fulfill what God is putting in front of us to walk into and move into. You know, in the Christian life, you only see fulfilled what you step into with faith. That is the Christian life. You only see fulfilled what you step into by faith or with faith. God will always speak, but you'll only see it when you step into it and step towards it. The evidence of our faith is seen as we move forward into something and into what God says, whether it's a personal situation, a corporate one, whatever it is. And so I believe that God wants to release or is releasing the Holy Spirit in a fresh way to accomplish what he wants to do. And he says here, and then a voice came from heaven. In that context, he heard from God. And in this context, in this season now, we're going to hear things from God that are more specific, they're more encouraging, they're more dynamic. He says to Jesus, you're my son whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. So first of all, he talks about sonship. He says, you're my son. That means you have the fullness of my inheritance. You have everything I can give you because you're my son. You're part of who I am. And God looks at us this morning and says, you're my son. You're my inheritance. You're an offspring of who I am. That's what God says this morning. You are life of my life. You are an offspring of who I am. You're my children. You're my sons, if you like. You're my people, and I'm taking hold of you in this season. And he says, whom I love. And we heard that last week. That God took the initiative, and he says, I love you so that you can love me. And when we live out of a revelation of God's love for us, then we know that everything that God puts before us, we don't have to try and do in our own strength, but there's a grace there, an enabling there from God to do what he puts in front of us to do and to see happen. Then he says here, with whom I am well pleased. What an interesting statement. Jesus has never been in ministry. He's lived for 30 years, but yet the Father says, in whom I am well pleased. Now, okay, Jesus, there was a relationship with God because we knew he studied the scriptures when he was 12. He was his parents couldn't find him when they left Jerusalem. They went back to find him, and he was still in with all the religious leaders and the rabbis, and he was debating with them and listening to them, and they were amazed at the wisdom even at 12. So there was a relationship with God. It wasn't that he just, at the age of 30, suddenly God said, oh, you'll do, and I'll pick you, and out of nowhere. There was something that was growing in him. There was a relationship with God. But what God was going to do with him was not based on anything Jesus had accomplished. What the Father was saying is, now is the time, Jesus, for my purpose in your life to be fulfilled. So it's time to anoint you, to release my spirit, and now to send you into what is going to take place next. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. Now, there was something said in one of the sessions while we were away that is going to change the way we do certain things around here over this autumn time. The way we're going to invest in the leaders in the church here, people who lead in ministries, the way we're going to invest in the whole church, in people. There was something said that I thought, man, it's a very, very small statement, but has a massive impact. He said, this guy said, most churches work on their gathering capacity. How many people can we gather? How many can we get to this? How many can we get to that? How many can we handle? How many can we process? How many can we... And he said, what we need to be doing is we need to be living according to our sending capacity. Come on. Absolutely. Yep. He said, if you're trying to just gather and build a church and get numbers and get 200, 300, 500, 1,000, whatever, he said, you're going to be frustrated. It's going to be hard work. You're going to be, you know, he said, but if you're working on the basis of how you can train up, send and release people, then the sky's the limit. And now we are ascending people. An apostolic church is ascending people. We train and equip and send people. But there's a whole nother dynamic to that that we're going to be getting into and moving into because it's the only way that we're going to actually impact the 25-mile radius. There are giftings in this room, in your life. There is anointing in this room on people's lives that need to be released. In this town, in other towns, in the region, across, you know, if we're going to see something take place in the way that God wants to. And it's interesting in verse 12, it says, at once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And I think at Faith Camp, I preached more this from here, but in a different way, and linked it into Isaiah 43. You know where the message says, the word says, that there's streams in the desert and he's making a way or streams in the wasteland and making a way in the desert, whatever it is. But what the context it is to do with the wild animals, the owls and the jackals. And he says, they're the people that are going to give me praise. This is what the living water is for now. We already have the living water. We don't live in a desert anymore in our own lives, if you know Jesus. You don't live in a desert without God. You have the fullness of his life. You have the full supply of the Holy Spirit. You've got everything you can need for life and godliness. And this, you know, forget the former things. You know, you're in a new day. It's about God releasing that life into the places of desert where there is no life, where people don't know Jesus. And that is to do with our town. It's to do with the other towns in the area. But it says here, once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, there's a sending that's going to begin to take place during this autumn and as we go into next year, a sending that's going to produce a fruitfulness in your life and my life and through our life as a church that's going to go to another level from where we've been. In some ways, we're going and reaching people, but also we think a bit more trying to gather people. And God is saying, no, what I want to do is release and increase the sending capacity and the sending ability on individuals' lives, but also on you as a church. And that's going to mean living a bit more in the stretch zone. It's going to mean living a bit more beyond where we've been. But if we're available and willing, then God's going to do something fresh in that way through our lives. How many of you want to be part of helping to plant a church in Worthing? How many of you want to be part of helping to plant a church in Guildford or East Grinstead? Or down in Burgess Hill or other towns in the 25 miles. How many of you want to see the kingdom extended in other places? How many of you want to be part of seeing people saved, not just in Horsham, but actually in other parts of the 25 mile radius? How many of you want to be part of a team that's going to go and plant something? Help, maybe say, I'll give 6 months, the next 6 months, to be part of that team to go out there in that town and begin to pray into that. Go there every week on a Sunday night or whatever it is and help to reach those people, see people saved. They want to disciple people. They want to... Was it just me? Because there's one of the things I've been sensing that God's been saying, and that little phrase in that session kind of confirmed it a bit, is there's a certain aspect of growth as individuals and as a people. I don't just mean numerically. I mean here as people, as Kingdom Faith, that's going to only take place if you step into a desert place to see that growth. If you step into something that needs new life in a fresh way, if you step into some of these places that God speaks about in Isaiah 43, as you step into those places, that's when you're going to see a fresh release of faith and life and power in those situations. I don't know if I'm talking to myself this morning, but I'm just sharing a little bit of what is... Because for me, I was like, God, the last 3 weeks have been really encouraging about our own personal walk. But I just keep saying, you want to talk about where we're going, what you want to do, and all of that, rather than necessarily just a message that really encourages your personal faith and walk with God. But God's going to take some limits off as well. And the limits only come off when you do something, when you step out, when you go, when you reach into something beyond where you are. That's when the limit, because up to that point, if you're waiting for the limits to break off, it's like, well, I'm waiting. Actually, if you move forward, then the limits get broken off because you push through something, you press through something. That's how limitations get broken off in our lives. God speaks, we respond, and the limitations are then broken as we then step into what God is saying and what he wants to do. So then it says the Spirit sent him into the desert, and he was there 40 days being tempted by the enemy. I was reading some other scriptures in Matthew yesterday and the previous day, and you know where it talks about the parable of the sower? Then also in Corinthians it talks about the word says that you are a field, you are God's field, you are his building. And it's like every one of our lives is a field. And when you get born again, that field has a completely new start. And that field then is given everything of who God is in the field of your life. But what gets sown and what grows in that field is down to what we take hold of in God and then sow into that field of our lives and cultivate in the field of our life and then see grow up in the field of our life. There's a certain responsibility that we have as believers to take hold of everything that God has given us and then apply that and appropriate that in our life. So there's your life is like a field, and there's things that God is producing already, but there's more that God wants to produce to become fruitful in the field of your life. And what becomes fruitful is down to what you take hold of in terms of who God is and what he said to you. Same for me in my life. The fruitfulness that I see is down to what I take hold of from what God has given, from what he says, what I believe, and then what I act upon. That's going to determine the fruitfulness in the field of who God has made me. But within that field, it also talks about there's a thief that comes at night and he begins to try to sow other things in that field that want to grow up amongst the good of what God is doing. And therefore, there's a personal responsibility that you and I have as believers to guard the fence of our life, if you like, to guard the fence of the field of who we are, so that we don't allow certain things to get sown in there or planted in there that try and then grow up and choke what God is doing. Now, in Matthew 13, it talks about the parable of the sower, the four different types of ground which represent different heart attitudes and where people are at in their lives. And But there's a fruitfulness that God speaks over you and speaks over me that isn't automatic. You see, none of God's promises are automatic. God speaks promises. He gives words over our lives for us to then believe and take hold of and respond to and say, right, God has said that, so I'm going to take hold of that. I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to move towards that. I'm going to speak that, appropriate that, receive that. But I'm going to see that because God has said it. There's an activeness of faith that must be taken hold of by you and me as believers to see everything that God has said take place in our lives. So God's promises are not automatic. God speaks, we take hold of them and say, right, he said it. So therefore, I can now see that. I'm going to move towards that and begin to step into that. And so when it says he was then sent into the desert for 40 days, he was tempted by the enemy, and there were wild animals and angels there. Wild animals and angels attended him. You know, all of us know what life is like out there. All of us know the challenges, the oppositions. We know the spirit of this age. We know the temptations that are out there and all of that. And so we're aware. We live our lives out in the desert of everyday life in that sense. We don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a Christian world, a Christian bubble. We live in a world that is, in one sense, like a desert. And in that environment, we have to protect the field of our lives from the enemy trying to come in and sow things that can tempt us. Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days. I mean, he only describes three, but he says he went into the desert where he was tempted by the, I don't know how many other temptations Jesus might have had during that time. But what did he do during those 40 days? He constantly made sure the fence around the field of his life was in place, and that he dealt with the temptations of the enemy so that he had constant victory, if you like, over the enemy. But each attack the enemy came with, Jesus had to deal with each one. The enemy came with, actually he came with truth quite often, but then there was a twist at the end of it. The enemy can be quite subtle in the way that he works with us. If he's too obvious, it's too obvious, isn't it? And even though sometimes we do fall for it, but you know, the enemy likes to come with something that sounds right, sounds good, but there's a little twist on the end. But Jesus still had to deal with each temptation and decide what he was going to do with it. He didn't try and deal en masse with it. And so the enemy likes to come in like a thief at night, and he tries to sow little things, little conversations here, little attitudes there, little things here, little things that if we don't deal with, they begin to grow up around what God has purposed to be fruitful. Now, and so we want to be on the guard. There's a personal responsibility there that we have as individuals to make sure that we're guarding the field of our life and what gets sown. You know, if you think about your inheritance in Christ and everything that you have as a believer, that you've been made righteous, you've been made holy, that you've been that God loves you with an unfailing love, that he's giving you, he lavishes you with his grace, that he's revealing more of his goodness to your life. They're the seeds that are sown in the field of your life. They're the seeds that you want to continue to cultivate in the field of your life. See, last week's message was great in that it focused on God's love for us, not us trying to love God. And if we focus on who God is and what he's given us that is being sown in the field of our life, it keeps the attention away from me or from the enemy, and it keeps the focus on who he is and what I have and then what I'm sowing into the everyday of my life. And that's why Jesus talked and Paul talked a lot about praying with thanksgiving. I don't know what you do when in the mornings, but when I get up in the mornings, one of the things that I do, I always pray with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that you've given me today and that today your mercies are new this morning. Father, I thank you that your grace is there today, not to see how far I can go to the limits, but actually to enable me to live in the good of who you are today. Father, I thank you that you lavish me with your goodness today. I thank you that I can live in your holiness today. See, what am I doing? I'm saying that this is the field of my life, and I'm thanking God that in this field, he lavishes me with his grace. In this field, he's made me righteous. In this field, I can stand before God confidently because of what Jesus has done for me. So in this field, what I'm doing is I'm saying, Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you I can live in the good of everything. That this isn't me trying to populate my field with fruitfulness, but it's taking hold of what you have already done so the fruitfulness of who you are can continue to grow up in the field of the life that you've given me. And therefore, if that's happening in me, then surely the outworking of that, it's going to have a positive impact and effect on somebody else's life to encourage them in the field of their life and what's happening with them. See, how do you deal with oppositions and struggles? You can only deal with it by taking hold of the good and the victory of who God is to overcome that. You can't deal with it just by focusing on it because it'll get you down. It'll cheer you off. And so there's a personal responsibility, the fields of our own lives, okay? Let's just look a bit more in here. And then in verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news. We're coming with the good news, a good news message. We're coming with hope into people's lives. The time has come. Now's the time. We've been a certain way for a certain time, and God has reordered some things here, repurposed us as a people in different ways. But now is the time to begin to go beyond the borders of where we've been. Now is the time to begin to increase both spiritually and numerically in different ways in Horsham and in this region. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. We're coming with a good news message. How many of you know that good news will always outlast bad news? The news is full of bad news, right? But normally, something comes on the radar of the news and it's bad news for a couple of days. And then once after that, they're onto another one, onto something else, onto something else, onto something else. They don't often, talk about good news, do they, on the news? But certainly the way Arsenal are playing at the moment, they don't. And man, I had 3 days of prayer and fasting after Man United's mauling of Arsenal the other day. Anyway, let's keep it positive, shall we? Good news will always outlast bad news. Great thing is about the gospel, it's eternal good news.
Come on.
It's a message that is relevant day after day after day after day.
Right.
It changes lives, it sets people free, brings people into hope, gives them a future, gives them a destiny, gives them a reason, the reason why they're living. I mean, the gospel is good news every day, and it will always outlast every depression, every financial issue, every nation that rises up. It will outlast anything that's going on around the world. The gospel is, because it always has been, always is, and always will. The gospel will outrun anything that's going on in the natural. We have such, that's why we're people of hope. That's why we're people that can be so optimistic about life, because we've got the gospel. We've got the person who is the gospel. And in the middle of challenges and despair, then we have this hope to walk through those things with. And that's what we're coming with, this message of hope. Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, began to call people. Just want to spin on a little bit, go a bit further on into the chapter. Verse 40 of chapter 1. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." What does Jesus say? Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Now, we know, you know, a lot of us have read this before. What did Jesus do? He took the if out of it. You know, if you are willing. And he said, yeah, I am willing. That's the message that we're bringing to people who live in the desert, people who don't know God, people who are outside of his kingdom at this moment. The gospel is a message of God saying, I am willing. Most people out there, they either don't think there is a God, or they think if there is, he probably wouldn't want to know them, or they're too bad for God to know them, or whatever their reasons. But actually, we know a God who says, I am willing. And if you link that with last week's message, where John lived out of a revelation that God loves me, rather than Peter's, I love God, and I love Jesus, and I'm trying to. Whereas John's was more relaxed and more kind of, well, God loves me, so I don't have to perform. God loves me, so I know Jesus is in charge. God loves me, so actually, I can trust him. You see, and if we have that revelation that God loves me, that he made the move first, and our response is, God, I want to walk with you then. I want to love you, be in that relationship with love. Then we can live a life and then live a message that comes across to people like God is willing. God wants to. God is able. This is God's heart. Because it's not out of us trying to do something, but it's actually God saying, no, I am willing. I want to. I'm ready to. That's the gospel that we have. And I believe God wants to do some things in some of us this morning where we're not sure if God's willing in certain areas in our lives. Oh, God, you know, I've been asking for this, and God's saying, no, I'm willing. You're saying, if God wants to heal me, he will do. And God said, no, I am willing. Today's your day. Now's your time. There are friends that we have, people that we all know, that are talking about God. Well, if this and if that. And God said, no, I'm willing. And he wants to take the if out of lives and come in and do something. And so we're a people who we're living this message that takes the if out of stuff. Also, there's other things in the little chapter, where in verse 21 onwards, where it's talking about this guy who was possessed by an evil spirit. Jesus said, be quiet, come out of him. There's some things that God's going to acquire in people's lives. Amen. There's a lot of noise going on in some people's lives because of the enemy activity, and God's going to quiet that, and people are going to come into freedom. Some people, the noise in their life is shame. For others, the noise in their life is hurt. For others, the noise in their life is rejection. For others, the noise in their life is being abused and everything that goes with that. For others, it's just there's noise. There's certain things. Some have got multiple noises. Others, there's just a key thing that is whatever. And part of who we are is God saying, now I'm going to silence those things in people's lives. I'm going to silence the shame, the pain, the agony. I'm going to silence things that are noise and taking hold. And I'm going to set people free. They're going to come out of that and into a relationship with me and who I am. You see, God looks at us and he says, I'm sending you as a people of deliverance. I'm sending you as a people of hope. I'm sending you a people who have good news. I'm sending you as a people saying God is willing and he is able and he wants to do something in your life and in this day. And just to finish this morning before we pray, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, this was just after they'd been in Capernaum and at Peter's house. And Peter's mother-in-law was healed, and then the whole town came to the door, came around the house, and it says everybody was healed and all kinds of things happened. Well, the next morning, while it was early, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions came looking for him. Where are you? Everybody's looking for you. But what was Jesus' response? He said, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, he traveled throughout the region, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. I believe that there's something that just at the beginning of this autumn time, coming into the new year, as we move in this direction, where, you know, we've had a lot of focus on Horsham and we still are. And obviously, you can see some of the bits at the back that are going to start being put in tomorrow for this play centre as part of how the hub's going to be run and open during the week and all of that. And that's all part of the vision and part of how we develop the use of this building as a community facility, as an oasis. And as we learn how to do that, that's part of how we're moving out into the region, what we end up building up at Roffey for the whole community facility for the whole region. But there's things that need to be happening in the region also before we even build anything up there. And over the next 3 or 4 years, as things develop around the whole region, then that as we build something there that's then going to serve the whole vision for this region and serve the bigger vision that we have as well. That we've got things happening on the ground because of what God is doing and saying. And what did Jesus say? He said, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. See, God has given us a vision, but with the vision, he gives anointing. With anointing, he gives the grace. And so I believe now is the time that God is saying that now it's time to become a regional church. It's time to become one church, but in many locations. It's time now to think like that, to see like that, to believe like that, to pray like that, to organize yourselves like that, to operate like that, to whatever phrases we want to use to describe that. But in order to grow bigger or to extend out like that, we've also got to go smaller. Because when you read through the New Testament, when you read through the book of Acts, you read through the way Jesus was with his disciples, it's all about community. It's about relationship. It's about people walking and doing life together. And at the heart of whatever is going on, it's not just about having a strategy for planting stuff, churches or congregations. It's not about having strategies to do this, that and the other, and let's just get on and do it. Actually, at the heart of anything has got to be a people that are in relationship with one another. The people who are living and doing life together. And we can do life on a certain level, everybody together, but there's certain where we got to do life, you know, 10s, 12s, 15s, 20s, in where we're growing as people together. We're encouraging, strengthening. We're reaching out to others, you know, within those relationships and in seeing things grow. If we're going to reach Horsham in different ways, then we need to reach into different communities and we need to begin to develop relationships and life and people in those communities. If we're going to reach into other towns, we need to start somewhere in a town, but then reach into the different areas in those communities and in those towns. But it's got to be built around relationship. It's got to be around the hubs of our lives and who we are. And that's where the personal responsibility, and in Acts 2:42, the first three verses there are really key. It says, they devoted themselves. It's not about just having a church vision and strategy, and then the leadership are going to motivate and just mobilize it. You know, historically, if I can just put it this way for a minute, Kingdom Faith has been an international ministry that's been geared around initially one person's anointing and ministry that has grown up and spread out in different ways. And what God has been doing over the last 6-7 years is he's been moving Kingdom Faith from being an international ministry to being an apostolic church and how what that means and what that looks like. And this next season of time isn't just about ministry going out in the way that it has done. It's about you and me. It's about a body of people, whether here, whether in Crawley, whether anywhere else. It's about a body of people being mobilized to to be equipped to go out to extend the kingdom, not just from a ministry mindset to go and do a bit of ministry, then come back here, but actually to go out to establish something, plant something, see something grow, and a body, a dynamic of life that begins to influence a community, a town, as part of what God's doing in the whole region. And that's going to take you and me. It's going to take all of us as part of what God wants to do to reach and to see that vision fulfilled. That's where we're going. It's not about how more exciting can we make meetings or how, you know, whatever. Yeah, we need to do some stuff on Sundays here. We're pretty sloppy. in some ways to do with Sundays here in different ways, all kinds of different ways. And we've got to tighten up. We've got to sharpen up in different ways. And it, all of us, whether you're part of helping to organise to make Sunday morning happen in some way, or whether when you turn up, whatever time you turn up. But the whole everything of what we do on Sundays has got to go up a whole nother notch. I don't just mean in terms of the way we do something. I just mean in terms of attitude and heart for all of us. Every person in this room, every person's part of this church here, our expectation, our anticipation, in terms of faith, in terms of involvement, in terms of the way we come, the way we organise, put it together, do it the way we do. All of that's got to go to, you know, that's, we've got to work on some of that this autumn. We're going to be doing some stuff, working with a Crawley congregation, putting more resource with those guys over there. And in terms of leadership, in terms of people, in terms of how we develop that, that's got to become a city church over there. It's got to become a church that's going to impact 140,000 people who live in that town. And so we're going to begin to resource that more. We've already been talking for quite a while with Pastor Paul over there and how we're going to develop certain things, how we're going to help resource that and train up and release and equip people there, and how we need to become much more one church in two locations. And as it's going to be easier to plant out into other places and that be seen as one church, but we're all part of the same thing. Because of the way some things have developed in Crawley over the years. But now Paul's there doing a great job in terms of what's happening there. They've got a great heart for the lost, seeing some people getting saved. It's brilliant, you know, what God is doing. But at the same time, things have got to come up to a whole nother level there. Maybe in different ways than they do here, but they've still got to do it in different ways. And God has really challenged me in terms of my own time and some of what I'm doing with my time and what I spend my time doing and all of that. And how we as a people need to think and how we need to be, you know, working. And we'll come to that another day. But at the heart of all of that, it's got to be relationship. We're doing life together. I don't know whether some of what I'm saying and all that's going to change some of our schedule over the next 6 months. It probably will, because we can be pretty busy as a church. I know as a leadership, it feels like we're just running from one thing to the next every week. And in terms of everything we're doing, I don't know, maybe God wants to just burst that bubble, slow that down a bit. I don't know, less is more in the kingdom sometimes, isn't it? And because we've got to give space for God to do what he wants to do, not just be so just manic with everything because we put it in the diary or whatever. And, you know, so I don't know what that means. I'm just splurging now. But hopefully you just pick up some of my heart this morning. It's not a mega message that's got 15 points and I've gone into the Greek and all of that this week, you know. It's like, right, God wants to just pick us up and say, okay, guys, this is a new season, new time, the autumn coming into next year. This year is a tipping point for Kingdom Faith. All right, and the tipping point has gone. All right, we're not coming up to the tipping point. We've just flipped over. Faith Camp was an awesome week. And that was part of the tipping point of this year, okay? What it represents, not just what Faith Camp represents, but what it represents for us, you know, in terms of what happened during that week and everything, and just the, anyway, it doesn't matter, but that was a tipping point as part of the year. And the second half of this year, there's, when I say momentum, I'm not just talking about the meetings being more ramped up and more exciting, but actually just the momentum of what he's doing amongst us, increase and move forward in a different ways. But now we need to, I know time's ticking away here. The Sunday straight after Faith Camp, if those of you that were here, if you remember Chad shared a word, if you can remember that God gave him in the prayer meeting about what he wants to do in our homes, what he wants to do in life groups and all of that. And God already spoke to me about in these first couple of chapters of Mark, about three different things that happened in three different homes and how God wants to begin to do things more in our homes, in our relationships and all of that. It's going to be key for how we move forward. Then he shared that in the prayer meeting. We just shared something very briefly that morning. Well, how life groups are going to be impacted is also, something's going to happen there also. And how we see, not just life groups as they have been, but forget the name for a minute, okay? Just remove the name life group for a minute. But it's how we do life together. how we grow together as a people. What does it mean to be in relationship, to love one another, to serve one another, to actually just do life together and all of that. So there'll probably be a load of changes with that lot. We're going to have an interesting leadership meeting on Monday or Tuesday, or probably after this lot. But, I'm looking forward to this autumn. It's going to be brilliant. And coming into next year. Listen, people don't need to get saved into the church. They need to get saved into your life. If they get saved into your life, they'll get added to the church. Because of what God's doing in you or in me or in whatever context, people get saved into the dynamic of what God's doing in your life, in our life together. So they get added just because they get saved into the dynamic of life. So we're not trying to get people added to the church or saved into the church. That'll happen. But God wants to save people into Him. But they get added into your life, into my life, into our life. And that's why, we haven't got time to go into it now today. But that's why our relationships and how all of that's going to move forward is going to be really essential, really key to us doing life together. And we need to give God some space. We need to give each other some space for that to develop and grow. So let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just have splurged for 40 minutes and just picked some things out, things that are on my heart, things you've been talking to me about, and I know it's been a bit more inspirational, but Father, I just thank you that your heart is so much towards us as a people. Father, I thank you that you look at every person in this room this morning and you see who you are in them. You see everything you've put inside each person. You see the promises that you've spoken over each one of them. You see the fruitfulness that you declare over every life. Father, I thank you that you don't see us as trying to struggle or trying to do this or get that right. You see us as people that you have invested yourself in fully. You see us as people that are brimming, full, overflowing with your life and with your power. You see us as people that are full of the good news of who you are, people that are full of hope, people that are full of your wisdom, people that are full of your life, people that are full of who you are. Father, I thank you. That's how you see us. You see us as people that are just brimming over with your abundant life. And Father, I thank you that from that place you say, okay, guys, come on in. It's time to go beyond where you've been before. So Father, I just thank you that you give us ears to hear what you're saying. I thank you that you give us understanding of what you're saying. Father, I thank you give us eyes to see what you're saying. Father, I thank you that Jesus said here in your word, it says that when the guy says, if you are willing, the first thing it says is he was moved or he was full of compassion. Father, I thank you as a people. I know we can't just pray for compassion. Often it's released when we're in the middle of something and we have to have that compassion. But Father, I thank you that even this week, as we see people at work, friends, work colleagues, unsafe family members, neighbours, friends, people that we know that don't know you. Father, I thank you. People that are in need in different ways. Others that are sick or need something, that what would happen is a rising of compassion. Filled with compassion. He then said, I am willing. Father, I just thank you for fresh grace in these coming weeks as we seek to move into this, move towards this, but also, more importantly, the life, the dynamic of life that you want us to have together as a people, the friendships, the depth of love. If I can use this phrase, the camaraderie between us all. We're all in this together. But the love, the friendships that you want to develop, the way we are with each other, the grace that you are releasing for that. Holy Spirit, I just ask you that you would just enable some things to develop and grow amongst us in these next few weeks that are really going to be fundamental and essential for how we move forward. I thank you, Father, you're not just after results. You're not just after numbers and ticking boxes and saying, oh, guys, you've achieved that, brilliant. Father, I thank you that you're looking for how we work out our relationship with you, with one another. And your word says that if we love one another in the same way that you've loved us, then the world will know that we are your disciples, that they'll come to know you. Things will happen because of the dynamic of friendship, the dynamic of love, the way we are with each other. So, Father, I thank you for just a gracing upon us as a people to be the people you've called us to be with one another and with all the stuff that's in our hearts, all the stuff that we're doing to reach the community, to see people's lives change, whether it's Little Builders, whether it's Friday Night Club, whether it's a tea dance, whether it's reaching into prostitutes or single parent situations or seeing marriages restored or working with or whatever it might be, with all the heart and everything with that. Your word says if it's not done in love, it's just a noise, it's a clashing cymbal. It means nothing. So, Father, I don't want to communicate results. We want results. Father, it is your kingdom advancing and being extended, we've been talking about this morning, but it's got to be done faith working through love. So, Father, I thank you of every man, woman, every young person in this room right now. Think of every child that we have in the body here. They might be upstairs or over at Rafi. But, Father, I thank you as together as a people, the bond of love will just increase, will grow deeper with one another. Father, I thank you just for this new season of fruitfulness, both spiritually and numerically and financially. Those three things, Father, that are a little bit of a marker as the health of who we are. That when we're healthy spiritually, we grow in the things of God. When we're healthy spiritually, people get added, people get saved, things happen. When we're growing, when we're healthy spiritually, finances are good and increasing. Even if the world says it's dire, in your kingdom, things can work properly and well. So, Father, I just thank you. I just speak blessing over every person here today. Just speak your blessing over every individual. Speak your blessing over people that are married. Speak your blessing over family life. Speak blessing over every household that is here. We just speak your blessing and your goodness this morning over every life in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, let's thank God for who he is this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.